All right. If you will, turn in your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 1. Begin with verse number 31. I want to preach on the Annunciation, if I may, this morning. And Luke chapter 1, verse 31, the Bible says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his precious word this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come as humbly as we know how before thee. And dear Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this privilege once again. Lord, help us, Lord, to come together in one heart, one mind, one soul to worship you in spirit and truth. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you just take charge of everything, Lord, is said and done in the remainder of the service. Lord, that you'd have your will and your way. Lord, we just seek to do your will. Lord, we only want you to do the leading, guiding, and directing. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that hearts would be touched. And Lord, that we'd just get a new glimpse of you, Lord, in heaven. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you would just have your will and way in every heart this morning, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, that whatever the need might be, Lord, that you supply that need. Lord, we know that there's nothing impossible with thee, and Lord, that you're able to do all things. Lord, help us to put our faith and our trust in you. And Lord, help us, Lord, to keep our eyes upon you and realize that, Lord, you're the giver of every blessing in our life. And Lord, all that you do, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For us in Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen and amen. I'd like to read something to you, if I may, in the introduction this morning about the angel Gabriel that came. And I like this. It blessed my heart, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. So the angel Gabriel brought the tidings to earth. He came down twice, once to see a man, once to see a woman, once to visit a priest, once to visit a peasant, once to call upon a very old man, and wants to call upon a very young virgin. The man doubted, the woman burst into song. And that song has gone on making music in human hearts ever since. And what raised that song? The Annunciation. The news that she, of all the women who had ever lived, was to be the mother of God's eternal Son made flesh. In the Annunciation, the angel Gabriel proclaimed both comings of Christ. Mary could not see the wide centuries that divided the two halves of the Annunciation. Amen. Isn't that something? I mean, it touched my heart, blessed my heart, and I hope it was a blessing to you. So I want to preach, if I may, on the Annunciation. And so we see how the angel came and spoke to these two. He came to speak to that priest there in the temple. He did not believe, as being an old man, and his wife being an old woman, that they were going to have a child. She had been barren all those years that they had been married. And so, but because he didn't believe the report that the angel Gabriel had given him, he was made to become dumb until after the birth of John, John the Baptist. And so we find that until that time he could not speak. And then when the baby was born. And then they said, well, what shall we name him? And Elizabeth said John. Said, well, there's nobody in the family called John. Why? And all of a sudden, his tongue came loose, and he said, his name shall be John. And that was John the Baptist, 6 months older than the Lord Jesus. Cousins, amen. Because we find that Elizabeth and Mary were cousins. They were related. One was an old woman, one was a young woman. And so we find that they were related. And so we find that John the Baptist and Jesus was cousins also. And so anyway, we find here that Christ's coming to redeem is in verses 31 and 32. So we see, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Jesus means Savior. And so then in verse 32 he says, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And so we see the importance of the advent. Amen. First of all, the miracle of it. Thou shalt conceive. Here was a woman. Matter of fact, Mary made the statement to the angel Gabriel and said, how can I give birth? She said, I've never known a man. In other words, she was a virgin. She said, I've never known man. So how in the world could I wind up giving birth? And so Gabriel told her, said, well, the Lord God shall overshadow thee, or the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee, and that thing that shall be formed of thee is going to be holy, the Son of God. And so we find the great miracle. Now, I know that there's some people that come up, and some people just don't believe that. They say, well, it's impossible for a virgin to give birth. Yeah, it is impossible with man, but nothing is impossible with God. Remember, Jesus was in the beginning with the Father. Jesus is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. Jesus spoke all things into existence. Jesus was the one that became the angel of God in the Old Testament. And so people, when we read about the Old Testament and we see the angel of the Lord, we know that this is Jesus. Amen. And so we find then that Jesus later on was born just exactly like God said, and God prophesied in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, and said that he would be born in Bethlehem. Where was he born? He was born in Bethlehem, just like God said. Amen. Hey, listen, every report that God had given of the coming of his son all came into being. Amen. What God says, God is going to do. Matter of fact, I'm so glad about that. Jesus told us, and I've been teaching on that in Sunday school, about his coming again. And praise the Lord, Jesus is coming again. He's coming back to rapture the church. Then we, the church, is going back to heaven and be with the Lord for the marriage supper of the Lamb for 7 years. We'll be in heaven for 7 years. There's going to be tribulation and great tribulation upon the earth here. We find that all of the signs that are given are signs of the tribulation. There's no sign of the rapture, but we know that the rapture takes place before the tribulation. And so therefore, we're so close to the tribulation, we're even closer to the rapture of the church. I'm looking for Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for Jesus. Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, thy redemption draweth nigh. And so we find these verses with the mentioning of his first coming and his second coming. Jesus had to come the first time to deal with man's sin. Hey, listen, they were looking for Jesus to come as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hey, listen, they were looking for the great Messiah to come and deliver them from Rome. But listen, there was a greater need in man's life than to be delivered from his enemies in this world. And so they need to be delivered from their sin. And so Jesus came to deliver man from his sin. And so that's why he was given the name Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. and Jesus, Savior, amen. And it was our Savior to come and save us from our sin, amen. And we see that he came for that very purpose, amen. And she conceived, and the miracle took place. And we find in verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. See, it was a simple thing. I mean, if God created the heavens and the earth and just spoke them into existence, a virgin being giving birth to a child was no problem at all with God. God was able to do anything and everything. Now, I'm afraid that a lot of people think God does not do anything anymore. He's just an old man sitting up in the sky, and you know, and we pray to him, but he never does anything. Hey, let me tell you, God's got everything under control. Everything is on schedule. Everything's running just like God said it would. Everything is taking place just like God said it would. And I'm so glad, as being a Christian, that God said he wouldn't put any more on me than I could bear. Hey, listen, sometimes, living in this world can be very horrible at times. It can be very horrible. I mean, man wax worse and worse, just as the Scripture tells us. He says, in the last days, men shall wax worse and worse. He said that there'd be unnatural affection. We find that in today's society. When we read about a woman having a baby, and she'll go and take that baby after she gives birth and put it in the trash can for the trash men to pick up. Hey, that's unnatural. That's unnatural. That's not natural for a mother not to love her child. It's not natural. But we find we're living in that day today. But listen, Jesus came to save man out of his sin. No matter what that sin is, no matter how bad he's been, no matter how far and deep into sin that he's gone, Jesus is the deliverer, and he came into this world to die for you and I so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Listen, Jesus came into this world for that very purpose, amen. And then we find the meaning of it. As you call his name Jesus, that's Savior, amen. And he came to be our Savior. I'm so glad that he's my Savior this morning. How about you? Amen. He is my Savior. I mean, there came a time in my life. Matter of fact, I'll give you the date. September the 21st, 1969, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And he came into my heart and saved me. And I've been saved ever since. I've been a changed individual ever since. God changed me, amen. He took me, this old sinner, and listen, he changed me, made me a child of God, wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and praise God, I was studying the other day and found out that God wrote it down before the foundation of the world. He knew me, wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, even before September the 21st, because he knew that one day I was going to give my heart to him. I remember back, even though I wasn't raised in church, I remember back when I was like 6 years old. I remember believing in Christ. I believe that Jesus was the Son of God. I guarantee you can ask these little children around here and those that can talk. Some of them can't talk too well, but those that can talk, and you ask them, do you know who Jesus is? And they'll tell you, yes, I know who Jesus is. I know who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God's Son. Amen. Jesus is God's Son. They might not know him as Savior yet. Amen. But listen, they're under the grace of God. But one day, God will speak to their heart. And they'll say, I want Jesus as my Savior. I want to be saved. And Mommy, Daddy, would you show me how to be saved? Would you tell me how to be saved? Or they might just step out in the service when we give an altar call and just come down. And when we see them come down, we need to go over to them and talk to them and tell them about Jesus and why Jesus came, why Jesus died, and that they needed Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Some people don't think much of the church, but you know what? How would people come to know Jesus if it wasn't for the church? How could they come to Jesus if it wasn't for preachers? Amen. Preaching the Word of God. Amen. Hey, listen, as Paul said, I magnify my office. Well, This morning, I'll magnify my office. Amen. It's a calling of God. I like what one preacher said when they asked him about running for president. He said, why should I step down from the high calling of God? Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. There's some things greater than being president of the United States or being a king of a country. Amen. There's some things greater. Amen. You say, well, you're not much, preacher. You don't have a lot of money. You don't have any looks, and you're old fat old man. You don't have much going for you. Yeah, but I've got heaven going for me. Amen. Praise God. One of these days is going to be in heaven. How about you? Do you know that you're going to be there? Amen. Amen. I know God saved me, changed me, made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. Jesus became my Savior. Amen. And then the second part is the impact of that advent in verse 32. The unparalleled fame to be His, He shall be great. He shall be great. You know what? There's never been a person that has stood out in this world like Jesus. Have you ever thought about it? Even our calendar runs on the time of Jesus, when Jesus came into this world. You see, the world liked to deny Him. But listen, He has changed. Listen, there's been more books wrote about Jesus than any other person in the world. Hey, listen, there's been more songs wrote about Jesus than any other person in the world. Jesus has brought about more, amen, into this world to help children that had no families, amen, orphanages, huh? Orphanages. Hey, Lighthouse Children's Home, the one that began it, Brother Larry Neff, was a child. His parents were killed when he was a baby. And he was placed in the orphanage, and he grew up in the orphanage. And then after he had graduated and went into the service that they wasn't, and then after that he went to Bible school, and he started preaching. God called him to preach, and God laid it on his heart to start an orphanage. Amen. So he started an orphanage in Mississippi, a girls' home, and began there. Then he went wound up in Costa Rica. He come here to the church and wanted to tell about the home here in the church. He came to the church here, and that's how we got involved with Costa Rica and how we've got those two young girls that we support, every month. And so, that's how we got. Matter of fact, and he kept on after me. He said, I want you to come down to Costa Rica. He said, I want you to come down there and just let us show you around and let you see what God's doing down here in Costa Rica. And so we went down to Costa Rica, had a great week down there, and everything went wonderful until the time we got ready to leave and had church service that morning. Got up that morning, and I had a funny feeling in my eye and had a little black spot in my eye. And then of course, it got worse as the day went. And then by that evening, three-quarters of my eye, I couldn't see out of it. And then, of course, early the next morning, I called an airplane, flew back, flew into Boston. My son-in-law came and picked me up at the airport. And I called the doctor on the way from the airport and told him what was going on. They said, well, we'll have an appointment, have you in tomorrow. Went in, they checked my eye. They said, well, we can't do anything. We're going to send you to Boston. We went to the hospital in Boston. And they said, well, we're going to operate. They operated. Helped for a little over a year, about a year and 5 months. I could see my eyesight come back to 20/40. I thought everything was going to be all right. We had revival here at the church, and after revival, it tore again. The retina tore. And then they operated three more times, and the doctor just looked at me and said, I'm sorry, Pastor, but said there's nothing else we can do. Said scar tissues took over your eye. So I wound up losing my right eye. But I didn't give up. I didn't stop. I didn't lay down. I didn't whine and cry about it. I said, praise God, I still got another eye. Amen. Now I got a cataract on this eye. When I wanted them to operate, and they told me, they said, well, we can't operate. That's why I have such difficulty reading, folks, is because I'm dealing with a cataract on my good eye. And so they said, well, we take a chance by operating on you about you going totally blind. And until you get to the place to where you can't see at all, so then we'll operate on your eye. And said, so, you know, we've not lost either way. You've not lost. that as long as you can go without an operation, you go as long as you can, as long as you can see. And I mean, it's getting worse. I still have a hard time. But I ain't giving up. I'm not quitting. I remember when Brother Gene Gaynor, you remember when Brother Gene Gaynor was here? And Brother Gene said, "Pastor, I'm not worried about it." He said, you know so much of the Bible said you don't even need to read the Bible. He said, "You can just stand up and preach the Word of God without reading the Bible." I said, "Brother Gene, I'm so glad that you got a lot of confidence in me. But I said, I want you to know I don't cherish the thought of going blind. I like to read my Bible. I like to be able to read. But listen, God said, my grace is sufficient in Him. I can look at Him without eyesight, amen. I can still keep my eyes on Him without any eyesight. But whatever God calls us to do, let's do it unto the Lord and give God all our heart and all our being and surrender to Him, amen, because He surrendered everything for you and I so that we could be saved and have everlasting life. Hey, listen. Oh, listen. God is good, amen. He's a wonderful God. He's a loving God, and He cares. And sometimes I have people to say, "Well, why did God allow this to happen to me? Why did I have to go through that? Why did this happen? And why did this turmoil happen in my family and in my life? And why did I've had mothers to tell me, why did God take my child? Why did my child die?" I said, "Well, wait a minute. Hold on. First of all, God knows best for everybody. God knows best for everybody." I remember my pastor many years ago telling about a woman in North Carolina, High Point, North Carolina. This took place in High Point, North Carolina. And that woman, little baby boy, got bad off sick. And it was in the High Point Hospital. And she called for the pastor, "Come and pray that God will heal my son." He went to the hospital and he talked with her for a moment. And he laid his hand on the baby and he praised him. "Lord, if it be your will." She stopped and said, Wait, stop. "I don't want the Lord's will. I want my son. Ask God to give me my son. I want my son. I don't want the will of God. I want my son." He said, "Ma'am, we should never pray in such a manner." She said, "You pray that God would give me my son." He prayed, "God, give her a son." Her son lived. He grew up as a teenager. He was in one trouble and scrape after another. He grew up. He graduated from high school. After graduating from high school, he got a job with Duke Power, working for the electric company. He was up on a pole. Matter of fact, I'm going a little bit too fast. He drank, he cursed, he lived a riotous life, and then he was up on a pole and he was electrocuted and died up on the pole, being electrocuted. And his mother made a statement, "Oh, if I let God take him then, he'd be in heaven. But now my son is in hell." Hey, listen, God knows what's best. You better turn your life over to God and let God do the leading, guiding, and directing. Hey, listen, God knows what's coming tomorrow. I don't know what's coming tomorrow. You don't know what's coming tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But listen, but God does. And God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." He said, "My grace is sufficient." God said, "I'll give you grace. You just look to me. And I'll bring you through the troubles and the trials. And I'll give you victory through every trouble and trial in your life." He said, "I'll give you the victory. But you got to look at me." The unparalleled fame, "He shall be great." And He is great. He's the great Son of God, the great Savior of the world. Amen. And then the unparalleled claim to be His, called the Son of the Highest. He is called the Son of the Highest. And we had better recognize Him as the Son of the Highest. Hey, do you know what? Jesus said this Himself. He said, "I'm not your judge." But what did He say was our judge? The Word of God. God is going to judge every last one of us, me, you, everybody, is going to be judged by this book. I'm so glad that it said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm so glad that he said that. I'm so glad he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Amen. I'm so glad. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Amen. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm so glad that he's my Savior. Then secondly, Christ coming to reign by divine right in verse 32, in the last part of verse 32 there. He says, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And you think about it. All those years, David died, turned the kingdom over to Solomon, and it went on several kings afterwards and everything. But listen, David is a great, 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 great grandfather, amen, to Jesus Christ. But God is going to keep his promise. Isn't that? Hey, Jesus is going to reign. He's going to reign from Jerusalem. He's going to reign out of the temple. He's going to sit on the throne in the temple and reign. The temple is going to be built back in the tribulation. The Antichrist is first going to sit there, but then Jesus is going to reign there for 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Hey, it's coming to pass. Just like everything else has come to pass, listen, it's going to come to pass. You can count on it. It's going to come to pass. God's word is true. Amen. And then last of all, in the dynamic might in verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. It's not going to come to an end. It's going to be forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. It's going to be forever. Now, Satan is going to be loose. He's going to gather an army. See, why in the world anybody want to follow Satan? I don't know. I mean, he's a defeated foe. He's been defeated for many, many years. And the last time Jesus won the world back. Hey, remember when he tempted Jesus, he told Jesus, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. Jesus didn't rebuke him because they did belong to Satan. But when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, gave his life there and shed his blood there, and after 3 days and three nights rose again, he got victory over death, burial in the grave. He got victory over the devil. He took all the keys back. Now the keys, you read in Revelation, that he has the keys of death and of hell. They don't belong to the devil, they belong to Jesus. So, the center of his kingdom is the house of Jacob. We got people that are teaching today. The house of Jacob is Israel. Of course, you know that. Remember, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And his 12 sons make up the 12 tribes of Israel. And so Jesus is going to reign over Israel. And he's going to lead the whole world as he reigns over the whole world through the throne there in Israel. So, we find the center of the kingdom is going to be Jacob, or Israel. and then the circumference of his kingdom. Of his kingdom there be no end. It's an everlasting kingdom over all the earth. He's coming. He's coming again. Ready or not, he's coming. I don't know about you, but I'm ready. Are you ready? Amen. About every day of my life, I say, Jesus, I wish you'd come today. Boy, how the Annunciation told of his first coming and told of his second coming. No doubt Mary didn't realize all the thousands of years is going to be taking place between those two. But Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, thy redemption draweth nigh. I know one thing. I know it's soon. I know it's soon. Then I give you this as I close this morning. Jesus said there in Matthew 24. He said this. He gave the parable of the fig tree. He said, when the fig tree is yet young and tender, that's Israel. Israel was a type of the fig tree. He said, when Israel's yet young and tender, they just celebrated their 70th birthday this year. In May of this year, they celebrated their 70th birthday. That's very young for a nation. Our nation's 200 and some years old. Our nation is. So you see, a nation to be 70 years old is very young and tender. So then, Jesus said this, this generation shall not pass before all these things shall be fulfilled. What was he talking about to be fulfilled? His coming. Read it for yourself. His coming. He said, it's going to come. He's going to come. And he's going to take place. He said, those that's living in 1948 will be alive when he comes again. I was one of them. I was born in 47. I was 1 year old when Israel became a nation. And he said, people of my generation shall be alive when he comes back again. Hey, you know what? I'm an old man. I'm 71 years old. In a few months, I'll be 72. Getting older and older. I just keep saying, Lord Jesus, just come home. Lord Jesus, just come home. Just come home. I'm ready to go. I'm getting tired of this old world. I'm getting tired of all the aches and pains. Hey, Jesus, just come on. I had someone to tell me the other day, but Pastor, I've got loved ones that's not ready. I said, yes, that used to bother me too, but you know what? God told Noah, says, in 120 years, I'm going to bring the tragedy on. God give the people of earth 120 years. Outside of Noah's own family, no one ever received his message. They all died in the flood. Hey, we could put it off another 100 years, but these people still would never get saved. Yeah. Hey, listen. This people are lost because they want to be lost. They love their sin more than they love God, and more than love to go to heaven. I fear dying without God. I'm so glad that I give my heart to Jesus, accepted Him. And He came into my heart and He changed my life. What about you? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior this morning? Let's stand, please. Song leader, would you come? What shall we sing?